This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes, boom, boom. These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first... There, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
The Italian Grand Prix is magical, especially when Ferrari win.
Monza last year, when you can feel the enthusiasm of the fans, for me it's something that I never felt before.
As Fred Vasseur looked up at Charles Leclerc on the podium in 2024, he could hear the sound of the Tifosi celebrating a home race victory. But he knows what they and the rest of Italy really wants is championships.
Pressure is the best motivation for all of us. I spend my life to work under pressure. I think it would be, for me, very difficult to do something else. Without competition, without this kind of pressure of the Sunday at 3 p.m.
Fred's high-pressure job has two high-priority objectives. To get the best out of Charles Leclerc.
Charles is the first one to say my mistake when he's doing something wrong. He's incredibly fast and quick, part of the family at Ferrari.
And to support the new member of the family, Lewis Hamilton.
I don't know if we underestimate the importance of the change. Probably. He's a champion, he's doing very well, he has the pace. My job is to also to give him my support to do the best job that he can do.
Here on F1 Beyond the Grid with me, Tom Clarkson, Fred talks about assembling a team that can win titles. He talks about his 5 a.m. starts in search of success and why returning Ferrari to the top of the sport will take time, even with two proven stars in the car. The Tifosi will be out in force at the Italian Grand Prix at Monza this weekend. And as you'll hear, Fred knows just how much it would mean to end their long wait for a world championship. Fred, it's lovely to have you on the show again. How are you?
Fine. After the break, it's always fine. And back on track, it's also a good one.
Look, how was the break? Are you relaxed? Does it feel different coming into
the second half? Much more than the other years that it was quiet, perhaps also because the market of the driver was quiet this summer. And it was a very good break with the family, the friends.
Do you stop thinking about F1 when you're on the break?
Honestly, yes, this year that I stopped. I was still working a little bit the morning. I'm still waking up quite early. It means that I have a slot for me on the morning. But no, I was completely off then, and I spent good time with the family.
You're an engineer by trade.
Yeah, nobody is perfect.
But do you have any side projects? Do you have something in your garage that you're working on?
In the cellar, yeah, in the wine cellar, yes, not in the garage.
I always believe, Fred, that holidays and boredom are the birthplace of creativity and good ideas. When you were in the cellar, on the beach, whatever you were doing, did you get any inspiration?
No,
this
I stopped completely to even to think about the business when I was with the friends and the family. It's true that in my life, I think I did my best business in August, or if you have a look at the last 30 years. But this year was very quiet.
Hey, tell us more. Do you mean, are you talking about contracts? Are you talking?
Yeah, no, the contracts that I don't want to disclose something, but contracts or drivers or big sponsors and so, because I think you are a bit more relaxed at this period and you have time to be focused on essential. And
I remember Gordon Murray telling me on this show that he came up with mid-race refueling whilst in the bath.
I was refueling, but not the same.
Fred, we're heading into Monza. I feel it's a good moment to just pause and reflect for a moment on the 3 years, almost 3 years you've had with Ferrari. How do you reflect on everything that's happened so far?
It's quite intense, for sure, with up and down on the sporting side that you always want to get more, but I would say it's overall it's positive that we had, let's speak about the last 2 years, a good improvement. This season is a bit different. Good improvement that we are step by step putting things together. What we underestimate, or I underestimate, is also the inertia, the beginning, the fact that to rebuild something or to do things differently is taking time, but it's okay. But the most important is that the mood into the team, even if we are emotional, even if we are Latin, even if when you have bad results or bad session, it's tough. But at the end, the mood is on the positive side.
Inertia is an interesting point. How long does it take to change tack when you're in a team? Not just Ferrari, you've worked for three different Formula One teams.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with Ferrari. It's more the F1 system is like this. First, you can never say that I'm in a good place. I think that even today, McLaren, they are still trying to improve. They are still doing some changes. It means that if at one stage you say, okay, now everything is perfect, I think it's the beginning of the end. I mean that you need to keep this approach, and it's why the DNA of our business. It means that it's a non-end process. But it's true also that in F1 today, with the contract that the key personnel have, it means that if you want to recruit someone or if you want to change a little bit the organization, it will take 2 years. That you can take the example of the Loic, for example, who joined the team 8 months ago. We probably started the discussion 2 years ago. And then the first car of the Loic era will be the next one. It means that it's probably a 3 years project. And I'm not sure that today the F1 and the world in general, but the F1, the world in general is keen to let 3 years to an organization. If you have a look on some of our competitors, like Alpine, they change the TP each year, the last 8 or 9 years. It means that if you have to wait 3 years to bring something, that if you change each year, it's not the same time scale.
No one has any patience, it seems, anymore, do they?
Yeah, but this we can't change. It means that we have to deal with and we have to accept it. And it's true that with the media are different, the social media are different compared to the past. And you want everything for the next day. That it means that this is the mentality in general. And at the end, sometimes on some projects, it's quite difficult.
Let's talk about the uniqueness of Ferrari now, specifically this team. How long did it take you to get used to that?
I don't know, but I think I had a good picture of the team before to join. The fact that we worked together when I was customer at Sauber, I was customer of Ferrari, or the fact that I was linked also to Stellantis via Alfa Romeo. I think I had a decent picture of the team before to join, and a decent picture of the main characteristic of the team before to join.
But in what ways is this place different? Because it is different, right? You've worked for Alfa or Sauber in Switzerland. You've worked for
it's completely
for
different for different reasons. The fact that with Minardi, we are a bit isolated in Italy. And when you have 7 teams in UK, it means that the focus is much more diluted in UK. We are almost the national team in Italy. That it's also another point. And the fact that being Italian, we are probably a bit more emotional and more Latin than all the other teams. It means that if you put everything together at the end, that emotions are huge and that it's one of the main characteristics of the team.
You talk about being isolated in Italy. I think that's an interesting point because are you? There is a motor racing. motor racing industry.
I was thinking about the F1 world, that for sure that we have a lot of company around us focus on motor racing, and we are not isolated in the world. But in the world of the F1, that you have 7 teams in 60 kilometers in UK, that the approach is a bit different when you have to recruit, or when you are a bit less exposed also to the move of people of the team. But it is like it is, and I'm really happy to be in Italy.
What has been the hardest thing for you to get your head around at Ferrari?
To not take 10 kilos per month first, probably.
Too much pasta.
No, but I would say that it's all positive. You know, that for sure that the emotion sometimes is difficult to manage, the passion is difficult to manage, that the enthusiasm is difficult to manage, but I prefer to have to manage this than the lack of passion.
I mean, just looking from the outside in, Fred, I look at your profile is obviously much higher now than it's ever been in your career. Has this opportunity with Ferrari come at the right time? Would you have been ready for this at an earlier point in your career?
Well, this I don't know, and nobody knows. I think it's true that it makes sense to join this organization with a good experience, and the experience in our business, it's also linked to be humble and humility, because you know that each session you start from scratch, and it's always important to calm down the enthusiasm of everybody.
Now, you've alluded to this already. When you were on holiday, you did a bit of work in the morning. But I remember you telling me once that you get up at 5 a.m. every day. Why so early?
I don't know. It was always like this. I always wake up quite early, a bit more now, but I also enjoy to start to work early, because that it's quiet, that you can do your own job, and I'm still one of the first one at the factory in the morning.
The early bird catches the worm.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't know, early bird, a big bird, but no. But it's it's my life is like this, and I really enjoy to be to start to work quite early.
I suppose what I'm getting at, Fred, is your management style. I guess those early hours in the day are when you're able to get your personal work done. And then is the rest of your day very much dealing with people, meetings, empowering people?
This, it's probably that you have to ask this question to the guy working with me. But it's true that if you start to do your own work or homework the morning and the first 1 or 2 hours, and then you can spend more time with the people and around you when they arrive. And this, honestly, I think that I always had this approach, and I won't change. It's the first. It's too late. That I'm really pleased to work like this.
Now, I remember years ago going to Fiorano and doing an interview with Michael Schumacher in Enzo's office, which I think is still there, isn't it? In the cottage. Quite an austere office, I remember. What's your office like in Maranello?
It's the building is completely different, but I still have some pictures, important for me, pictures of my drivers on the child on the podium of last year. I don't remember if it's Vegas or whatever. Charles Lewis in China. And I have a big picture of Surtees in 65 or 66, beginning of 66. With the four wheels flying.
Why John Surtees?
Because first I have to say, to be honest, that the picture was there when I joined, but each morning I see the picture with the car flying and I say, what? This time was crazy.
And it kind of emphasizes the history of Ferrari as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true that you have the, I don't know if it's the weight or of the history, but it's good also for the humility and the approach. I think it's as we said before, that now everybody wants to have everything tomorrow morning and so. And if you have a look on the last 60 years of Ferrari, it's for sure that you have a very high moment, and but you had also up and down. And but it's the life of every single team on the grid, that we had up and down, because quite often it's about cycles. And we need to keep the same approach, to continue to do step by step. and small improvement after small improvement. And it's but everybody is pushing to win, and that what we have to keep this in mind. It's not that some teams are not focused on the races, you know what I mean? That everybody is pushing like hell, everybody is passionate, everybody is doing a huge job. And when you join F1, as you said before, I was before in a other team, much smaller and so, but you can feel the same passion. I remember when I joined Sauber, we were a very, very small team. Huh? We were 250 at the beginning. And the passion was there also. It's not that when you are at the back of the grid that you are not working or you are not pushing or you are not into the competition. You know what I mean? This is important. And everybody on the grid, in the paddock, I think is doing a fantastic job. He's pushing like hell. He's passionate. And it's not just about the engineer. I think everybody in the paddock, even you, Tom. but it's true that it's doing, now that we have to do 25 races and so, it's a challenge. This atmosphere, honestly, I think it's, when you work in F1, I think it's quite difficult to change at one stage, because that to work in this kind of environment, sorry, with so much passion, so much pressure and so, I think it's quite difficult to do something different.
And it's inspiring, isn't it? It's inspiring to be around people who want to be the best they can be. I certainly find
that. Yeah, and at the end of the day, we are also working probably with the best, at least in this business, the best of the best of the best. You know that and this I enjoy every single day in my life, to have this kind of discussion, meetings about on the technical side or whatever. That it's a real challenge, but each morning that my assistant is telling me that I'm doing the best job of the world. And she's right.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Success in Formula One is an interesting thing, isn't it? And how it's achieved. Is your philosophy do 100 things 1% better rather than one thing 100% better?
Yeah, this
incremental gains.
No, but this is important. I think the first message is that everybody into the team is a performance contributor. It means that performance is coming from the contribution of more than 1,000 people doing a small step, and if you do the addition of each step, it's performance at the end. And we need to keep this mindset that everybody is owning the performance, good or bad, huh? But it's not that performance is coming from two or three person into the team. This is the first message. And when you want to manage a team, I think it's crucial to have everybody pushing in the same direction. And I'm really convinced that if today McLaren is doing a better job than us, it's not that they have a magic bullet on the car at 3/4. It's that they are doing probably a better job on a lot of items. Probably that we are doing a better job on some items, but much less. And it's true into the paddock, everywhere, that you can find good ideas on the guy who is P10 and... and this is what I learned the last 30 years, is that you have to be a very open mind on this, that everybody is doing good things, every single team has a good ideas, and to keep this kind of approach and this kind of motivation.
Is Formula One a sport, a business, or a technical exercise for you?
for sure the three.
All three?
Yeah. Technical exercise, it's obvious. Business, it's obvious that we are big companies running a big business over the world and so. But it's still a sport. And the difference between our business and some other business is that you have a sanction every single weekend or three or four times during the weekend with the classification. And this is probably different to some other business in the world. And this is keeping the pressure on. But I think the pressure is the best motivation for all of us.
Do you like the pressure? Do you see it as a privilege?
A privilege, I don't know, but I spend my life to work under pressure. Pressure was different when I started in Formula Renault, running my own team. But the pressure was coming from the bank. That it means that the pressure was huge. And when you are an engineer in Formula Renault, you can't imagine that there is bigger pressure somewhere else. You are focused on your car with your drivers. You want to win the race and you have a huge pressure that it's I think it's a good motivation at the end. And I'm probably addict. I think that it would be, for me, very difficult to do something else without competition, without this kind of pressure of the Sunday at 3 p.m.
Can I get your thoughts on something Martin Brundle said recently? He, talking about you, he said, being team principal of Ferrari is both the best job in the world but also the worst job in the world because of the pressure, because it's the national team of Italy. What do you think of that?
Best or worst, I don't know. It's, I think Formula One, first we have to enjoy what we are doing, all of us. You have millions of people in the world who would like to do our job. That this we have to keep it in mind. Sometimes we are complaining, we are because that the steward said this, or that we had this, or we had the gust of wind, or we had the, okay. But at the end of the day, we are doing something that millions of people would dream to do. Even if when I started, I was not expecting to do Formula One. I was always expecting to do something better next year. And at the end of the day, even if to be at Ferrari is not the goal for me, the goal is to win with Ferrari. It means that I need to do the next step. But I can't complain. I'm doing something fantastic with fantastic people around me. Good drivers, that it's the lineup that I wanted to have, that it's engineers are top, that it means that we are in a very positive environment, and this we have to keep it in mind.
How helpful is the fact that you are an engineer by trade in your role as team principal?
Yeah, but it was not always the case in that for my competitors. Toto is not an engineer. But
he's the only one who's not now.
Yeah, but
there's been a
Christian,
big shift.
Christian was not.
But now Laurent.
Yeah,
is.
Laurent is. Yeah, but I think what is also strange in F1 is that you have 10 teams with 10 different setup, 10 different organizations, 10 different profile of a team principal. And at the end of the day, we are all able to put the car, not this weekend, but sometimes in the same tens of seconds. And this also, it's the exciting side of the project is that we are taking different ways to arrive to something very similar. Now, the what is the best profile for the team principal? It's I'm not sure that you have a good answer to this. Is that depend of the team, depend of the structure, depend of the to be a customer team or not. At the end of the day, the good team principal is the one who is winning.
You mentioned Toto. I did want to ask you about your relationship with him. Both of you in the past have talked about a friendship. Is that friendship as deep today as it was 5 years ago, now that you're a genuine rival to Mercedes?
We always try to keep the two aspects completely separate, the friendly relationship that we can have and the fight on track. It's true that when I was at Sauber, the fight on track, it was not every single weekend. We had the beginning of 22, but it was the last one. Today we are fighting. We are also more fighting on the recruitment. We are, but I think we are clever enough. I hope that we are clever enough to keep the last 25 years of friendly relationship in mind. And even if we are fighting on Sunday or Saturday, to know that Monday morning we can start from scratch. And I enjoy my relationship with Toto, that we know each other for 25 years now.
But Fred, was it affected by everything that's gone on in the last couple of years. You take Lewis Hamilton as driver. You know, take Loic Serra as your technical director. You take Jerome Dambrosio.
He's taking also some guys at Ferrari, don't worry.
He's gone both ways.
But this is the life of a Formula One team, and we don't have to be upset with this, that for sure when I had to give the call to Toto about Lewis, it was not the easiest call of my life, and that because I am perfectly aware of what's happened when they helped me a lot also at some stages in my life, that and this I try to keep it separately. Toto is my friend, he will stay my friend for the next 30 years of my life. We are fighting, we will fight this afternoon for the quali and tomorrow for the race, but Monday morning I hope that Toto will stay my friend.
Now, you've been involved in motor racing an awfully long time. You've been involved in Formula One, even on the periphery of it when you were running teams in the junior formulas for a long time. How has the atmosphere changed in the paddock?
I don't want
the intensity the same today as it was 20 years ago?
This is very difficult to judge. First, because that I don't want to be the stupido saying it was better before. What is true is that we have much more races first, less tests, but much more races. We are in a successful area. It means that a lot of sponsors, a lot of attention and so, and a lot of media also. And with the social media, it's much more difficult to have a private life. It means that it's probably an extra pressure that we didn't have the 10 years or 15 years
and
ago.
And everyone now has a platform on which to air their opinions, which they didn't have 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And in terms of the atmosphere, are you better able to have relationships, friendly relationships with other teams? I'm reminded of Miami last year when you went and interrupted the McLaren celebrations.
It was a game between Zach and myself.
Sure. Are you
and
quite,
Lando.
Are you quite tight with Zach?
Yeah, we have but I think that the same as for Toto, we can fight on track, we can fight for people, we can fight for drivers and so. But at the end of the day, we are in the same boat for the business. We are in the same boat for the future of the F1, for the regulation, for the relationship with FOM, for the relationship with FIA. And we are also the only one in the world sharing the same experience. It means that it's not that I'm proud of this, but I'm very happy to have a good relationship with Toto, with Laurent. Laurent, sometimes we have the dinner together and Bologna, that with Zach and so that. Because that at the end of the day, it's also good to share our own experience, our own vision of what we are doing. And it's nothing to do with competition. And I think it's... Yeah, I'm very happy to have this kind of relationship with them.
Zach is going to share his experiences in a book that's coming out later this year. Are you going to write a book? Is there a book in
your
frame?
I will never write a book, for sure. If someone wants to write a book, they can't do it, but I won't do it myself.
Now, you touched on social media. I did want to ask you about the media in general. You have always kept, I feel, a very calm outlook in the years that I've known you. The only time I've seen you very upset
was Vegas.
Was Vegas? Yes, in the press conference. Both. Yes, that's true. That was you and Toto, actually. Now you mention it. Oh my goodness, you caused me a few problems then. No, but I'm actually talking, of course, about Canada. Earlier this year, it was the only time, Vegas aside, but that was a bit different, where I've seen you visibly upset. You know, there had been the articles written in the Italian media questioning your position as team principal.
It was not the reason, Tom, that when I signed at Ferrari, I knew about this. I knew that I will be exposed to the gossips, to the rumors, to the this kind of polemic. But in the same article, we had two other topics. The first one was, perhaps that Loic is not the right guy for the job. Loic arrived after the car. And I was a bit upset that you can throw a name like this under the bus just to create the polemic with absolutely nonsense. The second point was about Charles. They say, Charles will go to Mercedes. It was the same article, the last 5-6 races, and Charlotte Thursday is coming back to say, guys, it's not true. I'm at Ferrari, I want to stay. At one stage, I think this article is more to create the mess than something else. And it's where I say, guys, please calm down. I'm not asking the press to be positive with Ferrari when we are not doing well. You can have a negative judgment. But just to... I don't want to say the word because I don't want to have to go to the steward, but... to spread this on the team each weekend, at once I say, hey, please calm down. Be negative when we are doing a poor job on track, but don't spread rumors like this.
How did those articles affect your relationship with the journalists in here in the paddock?
Well, it's not an issue for me. but what you have to understand is that behind the names, you have family, you have... We had the same discussion 1 year ago that we had the rumor that Ferrari will recruit someone for Aero. Honestly, I didn't know the guy. But if you read the article, it was done. But you have to imagine that we have someone in place doing the same job. It means that the guy can imagine that he's fired. The wife of the guy can imagine that he will be fired. And each time that we have to calm down this, it means that I will never stop the... Journalist is not the right word, but guys to write something like this, but they have to also to understand they are not helping at all.
So were you more concerned about what the articles were saying about Loic Serra and Charles Leclerc than what they were saying about you?
Yeah, because I knew my position.
No, I mean, that's interesting. That tells us a lot, Fred, about your management stuff.
You know that it's... I remember perfectly the story last year about the guy on Aero. It's exactly the same story, is that this is creating a mess, but not for the team. It's creating the mess for individuals. And it's not fair, because they never called us to say, is it true or not? And at one stage... I think when you are the team principal and you sign at Ferrari, you know that you will have to manage this kind of situation. But I would love to protect my guys.
You talk about the families of Loic, for example, being involved. I mean, you have a wife, you have 4 children. How did they react to the articles about you? Or before you took the job, did you sit them down and say, guys, this is the situation?
Yeah, I spoke with my wife. that the discussion was with Ferrari 3 years ago, a bit more, very quick, but I asked to John and Benedetto to discuss with my wife, because I knew also at this stage that I will expose my family. And I said that, are you keen to do it or not? Because that most important is my family, and if you are not, you are not. But the answer was very positive and very quick.
How much support, you mentioned John and John Elkann you're talking about, and Benedetto Vigna. How much support did you get from them around June time this year?
Well, honestly, I think it's the setup at Ferrari is very good. We have a very, very close relationship. I'm fully in charge, fully responsible. But I have also a direct access to Benedetto and to John. It means that if I need to do something, if I need to discuss about something, to get their support, I can reach them every single day. It means that this setup is probably the best one that I had.
Let's throw it forward. We're speaking at Zandvoort. We've still got 10 races to go. What would constitute a good end to the season for you and the team?
Well, we have to win races, and at least some races on the last 10. We have to finish P2. I think now P1 is gone. But we have to finish P2 in the championship and to win races.
Andrea Stella is on the same page. He said coming into this race that he thinks Ferrari are going to be McLaren's closest challenges. I mean, this year's car has been a bit of a diva, hasn't it? I feel the potential has always been there, yet unleashing that has been really frustrating. Have I summarized that pretty well?
Yeah, but I think if you put McLaren aside... It's probably true for Red Bull, Mercedes and us. Also because as McLaren is far away, perhaps that we are trying to take more risk or we are a bit more aggressive on some choices or whatever. But I think it's even on some weekend and during some weekend that we had a kind of a big swing of performance between the three teams, could have been a mega exciting championship.
What's your biggest frustration with this car?
McLaren.
That's actually quite a good answer, yeah. Without them, you'll...
Yeah, no, because I think that for sure we had some issues on our side, and this I will keep it for me, but you can always do a better job. And we can, if we have to redo the season now, perhaps the approach is a bit different. But I don't have the feeling that we did massively wrong. And if I compare with Mercedes and Red Bull, we are two references of the last decade. We are in front of them. It's not that we did something stupid, but for sure, if you compare with McLaren today, they are outstanding.
And if you look at the progress you've made, look at the update in Austria, look at the rear suspension in Spa, you're making progress.
Yeah, but Mercedes and Red Bull also, perhaps that we started a bit behind and we are... the last two were a bit in front, but perhaps that today will be a bit more difficult also. You know that if you have a look on last year, for example, it was McLaren was much closer to the three others. But if you have a look on the season, Red Bull was flying, and then it was us, and then it was McLaren, and it was Mercedes, and then it was us. It was a kind of a rotating system like this, driven by upgrades or layout of the track or whatever. And this season is almost the same, except that McLaren is much more consistent.
Do you feel that the drivers now have a stable platform on which to work?
Yeah, but I think I draw and my colleagues draw the same conclusion a couple of times in the last 18 months, you know, that we have always to pay attention to this because it's humility is important in our business. And it's not because you have a good result on Sunday that the next Friday everything will go in the right direction. It means that the next 10 events will be different of the previous one. Condition, tracks, and so it means that we have to stay calm and to come back each Friday morning with the same approach.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first... There, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
This chat with Fred was recorded before Ferrari's double retirement at the Dutch Grand Prix. For reaction to that, check out the latest episode of F1 Nation, where we review everything that happened in Zandvoort. And if you haven't already, go back through the F1 Beyond the Grid archive. You'll find interviews with Ferrari driver Charles Leclerc, Fred's friendly rivals Toto Wolff and Zak Brown, and many more big names from the world of F1. You can also watch our episodes, including this one, on the F1 YouTube channel. Quick word on the drivers. Lewis, of course, you won the GP2 championship with him all those years ago, 2006. What surprised you about working with him this time around, if anything?
No big surprise, honestly. I don't know if we underestimate the importance of the change. Probably, because that he spent 10 years at McLaren or with McLaren and then 10 or 12 with Mercedes. But it was also a kind of continuity, two teams based in UK with the same engine, with the same environment and so on. It's a complete change for him in his life, into the culture of the team and everything. And this, to do it in a sweet test day in the winter period, it's quite difficult. And I think also the expectation was huge. But we have to put everything in place. And it's taking time. And we have to also to manage expectation and manage the noise around the team.
I'm fascinated about the change, right? I get that Ferrari is an Italian team and everything that's happening in Maranello is probably very different to things that are going on in Brackley and at Woking in the UK with Mercedes and McLaren. But that bit out on track, is that different when you change team?
No, but we are speaking about details at the end.
Yeah,
because the comments are positive or negative for one plus or minus 1/10 of seconds, or plus or minus a click of front wing that you did or not, plus or minus something, but it's always marginal. And this we have to keep in mind. And if we are not able to put everything together from the preparation of the weekend, adaptation to the simulator, blah, 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 until Sunday, you can miss 1/10 there or 1/10 there. And this is making a huge difference in terms of pure results.
I remember the guys at Mercedes telling me that Lewis is incredibly structured in his life. Is he a good motivator for Ferrari?
This for sure. But he's also emotional. It means that it's also us to support him when he's struggling, and we also need to push him when he's struggling. You know that he had a Spa in Budapest were difficult for him, but he can be sure that he has the full support of everybody at Maranello to recover, to be back. I'm really convinced that he will do it, and we have to be supportive with him on every single day, and I will be supportive every single day with Lewis.
But we've seen the brilliance as well, right? We saw the brilliance in China Sprint. We saw, I mean, Silverstone qualifying, you know, it was there. It's still there, isn't it? When you look at his data, impresses you, Fred?
Yeah, but we have to stay calm. We did very well, or he did very well in China, but somehow he was, or he will be the next champion. We have to stay calm. But we had a very good recovery. I would say around Monaco, he was there in quali just with the top four, and then we got the penalty. And all the races after this one, we were back into the good pace. Even Spa and Budapest, for different reasons, it didn't work, but the pace was there. But it's a matter of support and mentality. He's fully committed. He's pushing like hell. He's trying to get the best from everybody. And he will always have my support for this. That it's, you know, sometimes you, in a press conference, you ask me at the beginning of the season, what was the characteristic of Lewis 20 years ago? And it was this one, the fact that he was able to get the best from everybody. He's a champion, he's doing very well, he has the pace, and so, but the other characteristic is to try to get the best from the people around you, an extra motivation, an extra push, and so. For sure, this characteristic, is there. And my job is to also to give him my support to do the best job that he can do.
And do you think his presence in the team is bringing the best out of Charles? Is this the best version of Charles that you've seen?
Probably yes. And clearly, I think this helped Charles also a little bit to release some pressure from Charles. And he did a very good job from the beginning of the season. That I think Charles also improved on the approach, on the structure. He's more mature. And this, I don't know if it's a part of the contribution of Lewis, but it's coming from the maturity of Charles.
I was actually going to ask you that. How has Charles changed as a driver since you first worked with him? I'm talking in Formula One at Sauber. Yeah, not in the junior form. Yeah.
For sure, he's much more mature. That we worked together at Sauber, I think it was 18. It was 7 or 8 years ago. But the profile is the same. That Charles is the first one to say my mistake when he's doing something wrong. He's incredibly fast and quick, and a good understanding of the car. This characteristic is there, and is part of the family at Ferrari, clearly. And it's the profile is the...
Do you think Charles is sometimes too self-critical, too honest?
You are never too honest. And into the relationship between Charles and the team, it's always very positive. Sometimes with the media, if you are too honest, you are under the spotlight for the next 2 weeks. I remember the first races of Charles at Sauber in 2018. Probably that he did too much at this stage.
Now, you're sat under a photograph of Niki Lauda there, and it's, of course, 50 years since he won his first world title with Ferrari. It makes me ask this question. What do you think makes the perfect Ferrari driver? You've got two great drivers in Lewis and Charles, of course, but do you think you need the strength of character of someone like Niki, or do you need the, what's the right word, protectionism of a Michael Schumacher. He was always protecting the team. What do you think? What qualities do you need to excel at Ferrari?
I'm not sure that the profile change if you are at Ferrari or somewhere else. That probably that at Ferrari, you have to be able to resist to a bit of extra pressure or whatever. And this is a characteristic of the team. But at the end of the day, the characteristic of a good driver, it doesn't matter if it's at McLaren, Mercedes, Red Bull or Ferrari, for me are the same.
Can we talk about the junior drivers while we're on the topic of drivers? One of Jerome D'Ambrosio's jobs as deputy team principal is to look after that program, isn't it? And Rafael Camara is one of them. He won the F3 championship. How exciting a prospect is he?
It's important for the Formula One team to have this kind of academy, that I don't want to be focused on numbers, I want to be focused on quality. Charles is a very good example of the success of the academy, to take someone from go-kart and to bring him in F1, to spend 10 years in F1, to win races, to do pole position. It's a good storytelling and a very good project for the F1 team. Rafael is into the academy. He was very successful this year. For me, did a perfect season. F3, it's a difficult category. Did a lot of pole position. When you have a look on the session, quali are always difficult, with quite often only one lap at the end. They are not refueling. It means that you have only one lap at the end. He was always able to be there and to do the lap, winning a lot of races all over the season. And he's doing a good job. But then there is still one or two steps to do. That means that I don't want to go too quickly, that he did a very good job in F3. Now he's thinking about F2. And we'll have to prepare F2 in the best conditions, and we will give him the full support from Ferrari. We will do everything that we can, but he will have to do the job for sure.
Is age just a number, or do you think you can promote these guys too quickly? And I'm actually going to reference back to something Toto said here in Zandvoort, which was, he said maybe in the press conference, maybe we did put too much pressure on Kimi Antonelli, bringing him into Mercedes.
So each one is different. That, you know, that we had Oli Bierman into the pipe also, that Oli did very, very well with us last year in Saudi when he had to jump into the car on Saturday morning. And we decided to put him at with Ayao this season to get experience, a bit less exposure, and to have time to learn. Each guy are different. Each situation is different. And I don't want to make any comment on what Toto did with Kimi. That I remember also that the comments after Miami were probably also much more positive. Or after Canada. It means that we have to stay calm.
It's interesting, isn't it, how some drivers who dominate in the junior formulas win championships don't excel in Formula One, yet there are other drivers who don't win championships in the junior formulas who do excel. I suppose that's just the different development rate, maybe?
Yeah, but when you are 16, 20, maturity is different from driver to driver first. Characteristics are also a bit different in F1 than in some junior series. That F1, the fact that you have to manage big teams, and what we said before, to try to get the best from every single team member, it's probably playing a bigger role in F1 than in on some junior series. But at the end of the day, you don't have so many guys who were shiny in F1 who didn't win in the junior series also. I was trying to remind one of these that...
The serial winners win all the way through. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, characteristics are a bit different. Yeah. Sometimes that you are not in the right team at the right moment and so and so. But honestly, that the guys who are winning in the junior series, they are doing a good job in F1.
Fred, it's been so good to catch up. Just a couple more things, if I could.
You can.
2026, huge change. Am I right to say that Maranello is now 100% on 2026?
Or at least for the guys who are not focused on the last 10 races, yeah, and the production for the last 10 races. But it's true that we moved to the 2026 project very early into the season. Also because it's the biggest change of the F1 of the last forever, probably. Changing sporting regulation, engine, chassis, tires, and fuel. You start from scratch everywhere. It means that it's a huge change, a huge opportunity, a huge, huge everything.
More of a philosophical point. Do you like the way Formula One is always sort of reinvents itself almost every few years with new rules? Do you see that as part of the sport's DNA?
You always are convinced that you can do better, and it's true also for the regulation. I think it's part of the motivation to change. Now, what probably is a bit frustrating is that with the convergence of performance, it's not true for McLaren today again, but the fact that the field is very packed today, and to start from scratch next year can be good or not. We don't know. That is, but we don't have to be scared of this. We don't have to be scared of the changes. The fact that we have to bring sustainable fuel and so are positive for the future of the F1. And let's see. Perhaps it will be the most exciting championship of the last 40 years. You know that we don't have to be scared with everything.
And there's that game of cat and mouse, isn't there? In that I imagine you're happy with progress in Maranello, but you just don't know where everyone else is, do you?
We are improving, but I don't. it's not the target. The target is to improve faster than the others. You know that it's we don't know where the others are, and we just have to be focused on ourselves to try to do the best. And we will see in Melbourne or next year where we are.
Talking of improvement, bringing it back to you, Fred. Paddle. I hear that lunchtime in Maranello's the time that you and Diego Giovanno, the sporting director, take on the world. Is that right? On the paddle court?
I'm trying to do some sport.
Do you know? Actually, Fred, can I be honest with you? I talked to Diego about this and I said, you know, how is Fred on the paddle court? And he said, it's very clear that Fred has good hand-eye coordination and that you can play tennis.
Yeah, and I don't want to lose at all.
I said, who does all the running? And he said, me. As in,
I'm the boss. Yeah. He's running.
Seriously, though, do you play most days?
No. We are trying to have also this kind of sport. I don't know if it's the right word, but activities together. It's we enjoy. It's good for the team. It's good for us. Yeah. It's good to share something else than the pit wall. And I really enjoy to have these kind of activities, but I'm not sure that I will be the next world champion.
Fred, look, final one, and this is the question that I'm asking everyone this year on the pod. The sport's 75 years old this year. Do you have a favourite moment or a favourite memory in those 75 years? It can involve your career, it can be something completely different if you want.
I think the last 10 years, F1 is becoming much more sustainable, financially speaking, much less at risk. We are able to go more into the direction of the show, but it's not detrimental for the race. And this could have been a disaster. It means that we never put the show first and to forget the sporting side. I remember perfectly Vegas. We were all very scared about the outcome, to say, okay, that it will be a show, everything is for the show. And I remember that the race year one was probably one of the best one of the season. And if we are able to manage this situation, because we have to be lucid, we are a bit aspirated by the business and so, but to protect the sport, this will be the best move that we can do for the F1. This is for the business. Sporting side is that I think we had in the past some championship when we were fighting until the last lap or the last 21 last year with McLaren, between us and McLaren. And this is good for the sport.
I'm going to push you though, Fred. I want one moment. Was it an overtake between Senna and Prost? I need one moment from you in 75 years. Or was it the moment that John Surtees took off while going round the Nürburgring and someone managed to get it on film for your desk?
Emotionally speaking, for me, the win of Charles in Monaco. And I can perfectly understand that everybody will have his own view and his own picture, but I would say Monaco, Monza last year, when you can feel the enthusiasm of the fans, for me, it's something that I never felt before. I remember the noise or sound when Carlos crossed the line in Quali 23, when he did the pole position in Monza. I had the feeling to be in a football game. and this was mega for me.
Thank you very much. I love seeing you jumping into the harbour after Charles' win. I remember that. Fred, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A wonderful chat. Thank you.
Ciao, ciao.
Both of those Charles wins in Monaco and Monza were huge moments last year, even for the neutral fan. The outpouring of emotion was infectious and great fun to witness. I really hope you enjoyed this chat with Fred as much as I did. I learned a lot from him, and the tempo of our conversation was interesting. Serious, then light. Serious, then light. That must make him huge fun to work for. Yet there's also a steeliness about him. Look at the way he defended his employees in the summer after those negative articles in the Italian media. With a new long-term contract with Ferrari in the bag, it'll be fascinating to watch Fred and Ferrari grow over the next 3 years. Fred, many thanks for your time, and I'll see you again soon. Well, that's almost it for this episode. Remember, there's still time to get yourself to a race this season. Go to tickets.formula1.com to book your seat. You could be there when the 2025 Drivers' Champion is crowned. I will, of course, be back next week with another big name from the world of Formula One. But for now, many thanks for listening. F1 Beyond the Grid is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios. Until next time, keep it flat out.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.